Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
Podcast,
Utah.
How's everybody doing tonight? We were live. Britt Allen, Mike Virginia, and Michael Govier, and we're going to talk about fantasy baseball tonight. That's what we do on this show. That's right.
Woo-hoo, yippee, yay!
Jump in the live chat. Take advantage of it. Follow us everywhere. Be a part of everything all the time. Everything everywhere all at once. Britt Allen, it's Friday night at 7 o'clock on the dot here at East Coast time. In your world, I guess Central time is 6 o'clock.
That's
it's
right.
Pretty different.
Not at all. Although it is dark right now, so that's a little bit different. But yeah, I'm in Nashville, so this is Central Time, just south of Chicago, Illinois, smack dab here in the Central Time Zone. But I like to see we're all wearing our dark shirts. I did a wardrobe change just for this live stream. I had a white shirt on, and then I was like, no. I'm putting on the Palazzo Sam Worthington shirt.
Oh, man, I should go get mine.
Shout out, Sam. Yeah,
Shout out, Sammy. There he is down there. Well, he's right here, too. The very old version is right there. And then the more up-to-date version is the lower right-hand corner.
But it's
I haven't
Friday
heard from him
night.
On that one yet.
Couldn't be happier to be on after a long, stressful week.
Yes.
Ready to talk baseball and fantasy baseball with the mics. Let's hit it, baby.
Logging you in, buddy. Mike Virginia, you got a big weekend in D.C. coming up here, but first, baseball.
That's right. My wife's birthday was Thursday yesterday. So,
happy birthday, Mike!
We were celebrating very, very small on Thursday with family, but Saturday is going to be a weekend in DC for just her and I. Dropped my son off with my folks, so it should be a nice little weekend.
Nice little Saturday.
Romance.
Yeah, if
romance
I'm lucky.
Is in the air. Woo! Well, today's show, this is our fifth edition of our 2025 draft prep. Fifth edition. Nice job. We're making progress. And it's not technically even March yet. So that's good. We're doing good work here. And to get you guys caught up to speed, let's jump into the business time here. Get everything fired up. Get the music rolling here. On a Friday night, feel good. You know, bring your wife in. Bring your kids over. Let's all talk. This is shows for everybody, man.
No, this is a Friday night show. We're no kids, no wife. This is for us, guys. For us and ladies.
Clearly said by someone who doesn't have kids. That I said that. Yeah. I'm the only guy in the show with no children. So
no children in the house, right?
Yeah. We all need we love the kids, but we all need a break. You're right. It's Friday night. It's members only.
It's Wednesday. It's so steamy.
Sopranos, members only, shout out, final season.
Oh man. Tough break for our guy. What's his name? Remember who's Tony? The guy who wears the members only jacket who gets killed? Oh, Richie. Yeah, Richie. Yeah, tough break for Richie.
Hey, man, they all got killed. And anyone that thinks that the finale in Sopranos, that Tony Soprano didn't get shot in the head by the guy coming out of the bathroom, I don't, you're living in some kind of dream world.
Is that what happened? Oh, I didn't know.
Oh,
that,
yeah, I meant to say spoiler alert. Sorry.
No, fuck that. But I just mean like, I honestly didn't. I know there's been a lot of talk about that episode, but I didn't know that. That's what some people said. Business Rizza Jizzas here. Fantasy Draft Prep. Join the Mike VA League and dominate it. Okay, so what's the story, Mike? Business Time is live.
Last year we did a like a podcast show or a fantasy analyst show, so our league. It was me, Tyler London, and Andrew DeSegley. If you guys don't follow those guys, make sure you do. But I couldn't get them to join this year, so I kind of started my own thing. Listeners are in this league, and we are looking to create a second Yahoo league as well. So if you guys are interested, hit me up, DM me, let me know. But also, good segue, if you guys haven't joined yet, the Palazzo Podcast Invitational League 3 is now open, and you get to play against yours truly.
You're in.
I'm just like the Royal Rumble, you know, when it goes off, it's like, and then my music hits. I'm jumping in the ring here, people, okay? So if you guys want to play against me, join League 3, talk all the shit. I welcome it. Let's go. Bring it in. Okay, we try to get as many leagues as we can through here. Britton, I believe you're in League 2, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah.
Utah, give me two. We filled it up.
Give me two.
This morning, thank you everyone that joined.
Yes, thank you.
14 people plus myself. A lot of names you'd recognize in there from, I won't go through every single name because of time purposes, but thank you everyone that showed up. Marty Party from Triple Play Sports is in that league. Very happy to see him. Known him for a few years now. So the first round, it's a 15 team draft and hold league. Nothing out of the ordinary happened in the first round. I was in the 13 slot. I drafted Jack Centurio in the first round, overall 13.
Wow, dude.
I picked that spot, the KDS style, Kentucky Derby style, on purpose because my plan was to get Churio and then in the second round, Mike V's favorite player of all time in the history of the world, Jaren Duran. So we're starting out hot with Jackson Churio, Jaren Duran. What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing, because you already won.
Everything, already but won. Nothing right now.
Yeah.
But shout out to everybody that's in that league. Thank you all for joining. And please join, if you haven't joined, join Listener League 3 with the Mike V.
If you guys
feel League 3.
If you guys want to get that heat, okay, you want to feel that heat from my undercarriage, okay, jump in League 3, okay? Let's go.
Wait. League 3, here, I just heard this. It's Mike Virginia's music. He's coming down the aisle. Look, he loves it. You guys don't know Mike. He loves wrestling.
I do. I really do.
I do, too. I just old school. I don't know what wrestling is now, but I love old school wrestling.
You know how they do hook'em horns in Texas? Like if you're a fan of the University of Texas?
Yeah, we tried to flip that upside down last year when Michigan played them, but it didn't work out.
If you're dissing Mike V, do you take the V and go,
No. Bring it on, wow. Baby. Let's go.
All right, League 3, you'll get him.
Yeah, League 3. And then we fill League 3, and then we'll do League 4. And then that's where I'll jump in. So, and then we'll get more in, hoping to get. Last year we had 5. I believe the year before that we had 6. I would love to get to 6. And I know how you people are. There it is. Look at that. Right there. Right on the screen. Right now, live. We have this thing, right, where people don't want to draft until March. I think a lot of people are like that. Tomorrow's March.
I don't think that's true.
I think general people, your average folks, I think a lot of them like to wait. And I've joined some leagues, like we're talking your Yahoos, which is someone I'm born and raised on, right?
Yeah.
Like those people, yeah, like I've joined a couple leagues here and there while I've done this over the years, and people are always like, let's push it to the last possible second. I don't really care to do that, but that's how people seem to be. I'm not saying that's everybody, but
everyone in my home
league. It's time to draft. Yeah, they are, right?
Yeah, everyone in my home league is that. And so there's like half of us that are what you just said, wait to the very end. And then there's half of us who want to draft like early. And then there's like a couple people who just don't give a fuck either way. So for us, we do it. Our home league draft is on March 10th. It's usually the second weekend of March, but March 10th is a Monday because a lot of people have plans that already. So it's kind of a good balance. I kind of like it to a certain extent with when spring training. I don't root for anybody to get hurt, but it's always that bombshell when somebody gets hurt in spring training and you're like, ha ha, asshole, your number one pick just went down, right? It just makes it fun, right? I like it. It's a good way to get the shit talking started in a way. So get ready for the season. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a lot of people who like wait until the end of March.
Well, I'm trying to change that. Let's get people involved. Let's fill up League 3. We'll start League 4. We'll fill as many leagues as we can. Remember, it's a slow draft, so you don't have to be there for one night at one particular moment. It's a two-hour clock, right, Britton? 2 hours?
2 hours, and when it hits round, it's 50 rounds. When it hits round 30, it becomes a one-hour clock. But, you know, that's just kind of when you get into round 30, you're like a, you know, player, you know, 500, and everybody's like, okay, let's go, you know?
Yeah.
That's where they separate the men from the boys.
The men from the boys.
Great job.
All right, so please join up. The description's in the link here in the video. You can find it over the Discord. Discord's totally free. Jump in over there. Say hi. Take advantage of it. It's totally free as well. You can talk to Mike. You can talk to Britton. You can talk to me. You can talk to Benjamin. You can talk to Robbie Baseball. You can talk to Sam. Talk to everybody we have here at the show. We're here to serve you, and this is draft prep season right now. We're kicking into high gear, so this is the time to connect with us everywhere possible. Patreon's available. Starts at $3. I've been doing some good work over there. I've been also busting my ass. We got... I'm doing a short every day to make sure we have a video every day, so go check those out. We got two There Will Be Busts that are on the current YouTube page. Subscribe. We only need 53, 54, 55 more subs, and we get to 1,000, folks. 1,000! 1,000 subscribers. You'd make our day. You make our year. Unlock the monetization. Unleash the fury. And make it happen, okay? Any other business, gentlemen, today before we close business?
Really quick, I've brought it up on every show, but make sure you guys head over to my Twitter profile. If you guys retweet, like, and also subscribe to the Palazzo Podcast YouTube channel, Bozo Fest, I'm giving away a free jersey of your choice. I'm going to do the spinny wheel thing on opening day eve.
March 26th.
Yep. You get to choose your jersey of your choice. It could be current, active, retired. I don't care. Jersey's yours. So, and it's super simple to do that. And if you tell your friends, too, that'd be also very much appreciated. Help us get to 1,000.
Come on, engage with us. You know that word, engagement. Engage. Engage with underscore Mike VA, Britton Allen, MJ Govier, everybody here at the Palazzo Podcast. All right. Well, that was one of our quicker opening segment business times ever. We're going to move right into leading off. All right, you know what that means. It's time for our first catch of the day.
Our first catch of the day.
And we're going to talk some spring training, Britton. What do you say?
Spring training, as Mike V lives his life by certain edicts, certain rules. Rule number one, I will not pay attention to spring training stats unless it's Matt McClain hitting off Vikar Medeiros. And claiming right. that Mike McClain is the all-time best player that's ever lived in the entire world. Other Damn than right. that,
yeah.
other than that, I'm just kidding. in all seriousness, there was some news that came out today, like not the hitters so much, but the pitchers, like Luis Hill for the Yankees, starting pitcher for the Yankees, also Rookie of the Year last year, American League. Luis yeah. Hill, GIL, was throwing a bullpen session. Shoulder discomfort, going for an MRI. Shoulder inflammation MRI before the season starts.
Not good.
That's the kind of thing you pay attention to in spring training. Avoid at all costs. Even if the MRI will come back, you know, inflammation, we're going to shut them down for 4 weeks. Like, that's best case scenario. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just be cognizant of that. Another thing I saw today, of course, Sandy Alcantara for the Miami Marlins is consistently sitting right around triple digits. He missed all of last season recovering from Tommy John. I don't know what you guys think, but I've kind of looked at it. This is why I'm not drafting Tarik Skubal or Paul Skenes. This is why in the first or second round, this is why I'm drafting Churio, Duran, Vlad Jr., you know, somebody like that, because you can get Sandy 5 rounds later, and I get it. It's there's a risk involved, but man,
always it's is. Going up. It's going
something's
up.
Something's going on there, and this year I think is more than many years than I can remember. And y'all correct me if you think I'm crazy, but you can get so many good pitchers later. Ronaldo Lopez looks great. You can get him in the 10th round, just like. I don't know. What do y'all think? And I know it's spring training, but
yeah, we know
there's a lot of deep pitchers.
Yeah,
I think for I'm with you. First off, on your strategy, I 100% agree with that. I think that the longer we wait, Sandy Alcantara's draft stock is going to continue to rise heavily. It already has been. So, but yeah, I'm with you. Like Sean Manaea, who's going to be out on the IL, they already announced it. He's another guy I'm probably fading just because of his oblique.
Oops. Sorry, no sound. My bad.
No, all good. I'm with you, Britton. There's a lot of guys that you can get in the double digit rounds as well of drafts. I hate this too because I love these guys, but I love Tarik Skubal. I love Paul Skeens. I just won't own any shares of them just because I'm going to be waiting later for in drafts. I do want to get my hands on some Cole Reagans though. There's a lot of guys that you can have later on in drafts, and maybe we'll get into a little bit of player battles here to do that later in the show. So make sure you guys stick around for that.
Oh boy,
two little mice.
Yeah, stay tuned. Not so solid majority one says just drafted Alcantara in a best ball draft in the 12th nice. Round.
Solid, dude.
Real that's solid. So good. Like, that's exactly what you want to do. Best ball, roto, wherever, whenever. That's a song, right? Wherever, whenever. No, that's a Shakira song.
It is.
Yeah. If you want to go a little older, Britton, you can go with Rome, you know. Rome, if you want to.
No, let's stay on Shakira. Rome, all 5 foot four.
You want to do Fred Schneider?
Colombian. Gorgeous.
That's Sandy, hopefully Sandy gets traded to a contender. Who gives a shit? Doesn't matter. I don't need that.
Yeah.
He's wins contract. Will go up maybe.
Yeah, no, he's. I think he's staying there for
I would love him to go to Detroit. I said this actually in the offseason. I was like, God, I would love them to go get Sandy Alcantara. It'd be a nice compliment for a guy who's probably, I think he will be a free agent after one more season. So it wouldn't be like you'd have to give up the farm. It's kind of a rental, but you're getting a guy who's a veteran who would really stabilize it. It would just be nice to see Skubal and him.
If I were the GM for the Mets, because Manaea's hurt, Montas is hurt, they just paid Soto, they've got Lindor, they've got Pete Alonso. If they could go trade for Sandy Alcantara for Miami, like you just give them, you say, you call the other GM, the Miami GM, and you go, look, I'm going to fly down and we're going to have a meeting and we're going to talk about this. And then you go to the club, you do whatever, and then you're like, here's a list of all our prospects. Just circle who you want, and, you know, we're good.
Brett Beatty, Art Vientos.
All that. Not Vientos, but, yeah, Beatty, like everybody else. Or Sprout.
Sprout, yeah.
Give him wow. Sprout. Give him Beatty. Give him whoever else.
Look, guys, this rotation, you start to look at it for the Mets. A little concerning now. Kodai Senga, who I ripped on last week. I'm skeptical.
It was concerning with Manaea and the other guys, in my opinion.
Right. But, so now it's a code red zone, right? Yeah. Senga, David Peterson, Clay Holmes transitioning, Paul Blackburn, my boy, and then Griffin Canning.
Yeah, man. Blackburn and Canning are the fourth and fifth. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But there's still a lot of guys out there. Like, for me, like, what makes the most sense for the Mets, like, why not just go out and get Jose Quintana or, like, a Lance Lynn or, you know, some of those other guys that you can probably sign for cheap. But I would much rather have both of those guys over Canning and Blackburn. You know what I mean? Like, there's some guys that they could probably get on vet minimums. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably not going to have to pay a whole lot to get these guys. You know what I'm saying? So, like...
Yeah.
Kyle Gibson.
You got to add him to your 40, man. I mean, you know, it's not just we just go sign Lance Lynn. He's going to want a 3-year guaranteed deal.
That's true.
You know, he's a veteran. He's not, who knows? But that would be my guess.
What about like Anthony Desclafani? You know, somebody like that.
Tony Disco?
Oh, yeah, Tony Disco. Wow.
Wow, dude.
Well, Lance Lynn's 37 years old. He'll be 38 in May. So
yeah. You'd have to go down.
It sucks that Christian Scott's dead. That sucks for the Mets. They'd love to have Christian Scott
knocking doors on the in Mexico City in the Mexican League. Sorry,
you know who's supposed to call? There? Bartolo. It's obvious. Time to bring Bartolo back to the Mets.
Yeah, it's like him and three women. You know, and they're all passed out. They're like, hey,
it's like the Tom Berger scene in Major League. Mets. Where they come finding Tom Berger in the Mexican League, and he's got the sombrero over his head. Any other spring training notes that got you guys all hot and bothered? We already qualified our spring training thoughts last week, but we're still aware that, you know, we glance at it. We'll take a look.
Gunnar Henderson left the game with some side discomfort. Apparently it was precautionary. So when he was diving for a ball, so I was really, really scared it was going to be a oblique injury. It doesn't sound like that, at least. Hyde took him out because it was a precautionary discomfort, if you will. So okay. Smart on his part, obviously, but it doesn't sound like Gunner's going to be missing any time. But yeah, I mean, if you guys follow us all on Twitter, you know, I was joking with Gove and Britton because I'm a big Matt McLean guy, but the Reds have been hitting the shit out of the baseball so far, which is fun to see. I mean, baseball's back. Like, I love seeing the dingers. I love seeing the Samuel Basalo 500-foot home run. So, like, being able to watch all this stuff now and
some guy who's never going to be in the majors.
Exactly. Yeah, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch that stuff. I don't know how many of you guys watch spring training games, but it gets you kind of ready, and it's kind of like an appetizer for the season. So,
do I have 5 minutes in my life? No, I don't. I wish I did. That sounds great. I would love to do that. I'm trying to prepare. We got TGFBI starting on Monday, and the Raz Slam starts on Wednesday, I believe, next week. So I'm looking forward to those. But I'm looking at stats much more than I am at spring training highlights right now. By the way, is Jordan Westberg fine? I saw a quick blur where someone freaked me out about him, but he's okay, right?
Yeah, low back discomfort for him. So okay. He had a little bit of that. Yeah, he had a little bit of that last year too. I mean, all these guys are going to be babied, I would assume, as we get closer and closer to the start of the season. So the slightest thing, a hangnail, they could probably keep him out of the game and people would freak out.
It's funny, though, with somebody like Gunner, who's a top five pick, he fell to ninth in our draft today with the listener league draft. So, and which is cool for whoever got him ninth. And yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with passing on him. If you prefer Soto, there's nothing wrong with that, obviously. But yeah, in one of our chatters said it best. It's like he wasn't taking a swing. Like if you see a hitter take a swing and grab their side, that's a problem. Like Gunner was just lunging for a ball and landed on his side. I think it's basically he's got a bruise on his side. It's not like a real oblique, like Aaron Judge taking a huge hack and missing situation, you know? So
a lot of Gunner's going to be fine.
You know, another thing that's happened too in this draft, Freddie Freeman has fallen into round three in a 15-team draft.
Great.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's coincidence, because last night I posted a video about that exact man.
I don't think it's coincidence. And I saw an interview with him during the spring training game yesterday, and he was DHing, and the reporter was asking him all, you know, a ton of questions, and he was answering them all. And, you know, they're going to Japan, I believe Tokyo, for the Cubs series in a week or two. And the reporter was like, you know, so what are you going to do in your, you know, that you've got a couple off days. And he was like, and he said, I'm still treating my ankle. He's like, I'm going to be in ankle treatment all day, every day. I'm not sightseeing. And I was like, ooh, okay. Like he's,
they said something. Right.
That's not, you know, that's going to be a thing. So I can see why he's falling a little bit.
They said that his ankle was going to keep him out probably out of some games in the early going and probably all the way through the All-Star break. They're going to be careful with him. So that's a good question, actually, just really quick. I'm interested to hear y'all's thoughts. I mean, he's a borderline maybe first rounder in a standard 12 team.
He's a second rounder, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, early second, late first. I mean, depending on what kind of league you're playing in. But like for Freddie Freeman in this news with his ankle, does that drop him at all for you guys? Like, are you waiting a full round or a couple picks?
I did the video last night.
What'd you say?
Bust. Oh,
you're going bust. Okay.
Freddie has joined Brenton Doyle as the second man on our There Will Be Bust playlist on our YouTube, which you guys can watch anytime. And I didn't even mention the ankle. The other reasons I mentioned. First time at a single-digit barrel rate since like 2018, 2017. That was interesting. Also, I think people look at the 23 steals from 2 years ago and they see, oh, well, that's coming back because he wears Dodger blue. And I think there's also this phenomenon about Dodger blue. Everyone thinks that every Dodger is going to maximize their potential. That is just something. It's not coming back. The steals are going bye-bye. He's going to be 36 during this MLB season. He's declining slowly. His hard hit rate has gone down the last 2 years. It's not a huge drop, but it's slightly. And I'm just not buying it. I think I'm going to go in another direction. I would absolutely 100% rather take Josh Naylor later on than Freddie Freeman. I'm going to lock it in now. Josh Naylor will outperform Freddie Freeman in 2025.
Boy.
And in support of that point, which I agree with 1,000%, your average home league person isn't going to know anything about this ankle stuff. All they're going to remember is that his name is Freddie Freeman. He plays for the Dodgers.
Yep.
And he was that World Series MVP. That's what they're going to remember. No one's going to think about your average home league, you know, people you play, you know, maybe they know baseball, but they don't look at it all day, every day like we do, or, you know, like we're kind of crazy. Yeah. Like, no one knows about that. I bet in your average home league, he still gets drafted in the first or second round. But in an NFBC league, you know, most people are saying, well, I'm going to get Mountcastle later, or I'm going to get Talia later, or I'm going to get, I don't know, pick any first baseman later, you know, Jake Berger, you know.
Love Jake Berger.
I love you, Jake.
By the way, we were all rooted for Mr. Freeman last year with his kid being sick, and he also hit that Grand Slam walk-off in game one of the World Series. That's great shit. It's legendary. It's beautiful. But that doesn't mean that he's a guy that I'm going to draft in 2025.
Mike, he's a human being. Yeah, he's 30. Yeah, he's a human being. Like, he's got ankle problems. Like that, you know.
Let me ask you guys this. It's the late second round, okay? Late seconds, and it's like your pick 11, 12. Freddie Freeman's still there. Would you take him then?
Is this a 15 team or a 12 team?
12 team.
No.
Brittany. I'm not. I'm on record.
Take Logan Gilbert.
Yeah, I'm waiting on first baseman, third baseman, corner, all that. There's so many other players I like better that I'm going to load up on outfield. That's where I think is the honey pot this year.
I agree with that, Britton. I'm glad you said that because I am with you on that on that take too. I'm loading up on outfield.
I've outfield honeypot.
Yep.
let's bring in our pals in the live chat here because they're crushing
like
it right
Pooh
now.
I'm like Pooh Bear.
You're like Pooh Bear with the honeypot?
Yeah, give me that honeypot.
Except his is filled with Miller Lite, not honey.
Make it a Bud Light. Profo show. What's up, Profo show? I hope Chandler Simpson plays this year. He'll be fun to watch. Yeah, he's a. Actually, we talked about him on our next big three. Go back and check that out. That's on our YouTube and our podcast feed. Benjamin Chase and Robbie Baseball talked about the Rays' top three next three prospects, and Chandler Simpson was one of those guys. A lot of speed.
He's the hottest player in NFBC leagues right now. At the end of 50 round. He's creeping up like 50 round. Now he's at like 40. I mean, everybody's on Chandler Simpson. If you want him, you gotta get it.
Didn't know that. Okay. Don HD. What's up, Don? My man. Is this my guy, Don, who brought me in? I'm in Don's league, the DILF league, the drive into deep left field. That's the name of the league, if you know what that means. A new home park for Naylor is not ideal for a spray chart for what it's worth. Wah, wah. Not so solid majority. Big year for Bregman. Wherever he plays on defense, question mark, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's ultimately going to slot in at third base. I mean, I know they're talking about him playing second, and I know he's been taking reps there as well. I'm not saying he won't play there, but Christian Campbell's not giving him any reason to make a I know it's early in spring training so far, but he's not giving him any reason to so far to make the team. But I am in on Bregman this year. I think his power plays well with Boston. I think he's at a reasonably priced as well. I think maybe he comes up a little bit in terms of his ADP just simply because of he's in that Boston loaded lineup. So, but I like him a lot this year. Change of scenery, still got 30 homer potential, got his money, got his contract. So I'm in on Bregman. Defined big, I don't know, but I think he can have an Alex Bregman type year. I think that outlier when he had like 40 something home runs, probably not happening, but I could definitely see 25, 30 home runs driving in 100 runs for sure, around 280, 290 average. Britton, you in on Bregman this year?
100%. Historically, his OPS in Fenway Park is 1.2. I mean, it's off the charts good. For whatever reason, he bangs him off the wall, the green monster over there. He loves hitting there. He's in a great lineup. I think he should play third every day because, like Devers, we all know Devers is a good hitter. He is a below average defender. People don't think that. And of course, Devers doesn't think that. But if you show him the numbers, like, look, you're not a good defensive, you know, third baseman at all. And Bregman is. So they should put Bregman at third and DH Devers. That's what they should do. I don't know if they're going to do it because Devers is going to cry about it. But, I mean, Devers is hurt too. He had shoulder injuries last year. So
both shoulders.
I don't know. But Alex Cora will get all that figured out. I mean, he's a good manager. I think he'll he'll get all that squared away. But yeah, Bregman's primed and ready for a great year. That's why I'm waiting on corner. Like I'm not messing with corner infield early or first or third, whatever. I'll get Bregman, you know, round 11.
And that's the thing too, right? Like you hit multiple birds with one stone, right? Like you can keep Raffy at third, you can put Bregman at second, and you can let some of your younger guys like Christian Campbell develop in the minors a little bit more with this signing. So I always thought it was a little bit of a reach for Campbell to make the crack the opening day roster. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I always thought it was a little bit of a reach. But that gives them that opportunity to do so. But Gove, are you in or out on Bregman this year?
I'm not super motivated, but you look at the par factors, and he's going to Fenway Park, which is an improvement from Houston. In fact, on average there, for the three-year rolling average for the park factors on StatCast, jumps up to number two park in all of baseball behind Coors Field. So
Coors,
that's got to be good news for his right-handed bat, and I expect to also see a lot from him because he's got that opt out, so he can bounce out of there. He can kick some ass and bounce out of there. He didn't do it last year. Not every free agent year is a beautiful tale, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm not against it. I'm not against it at all. I'm kind of like, I feel like Bregman has kind of disappointed me because he showed so much more, and not even the power that he showed in 2019, but the walk percentage hasn't been as patient. That bums me out a bit. So I'm mixed emotions, like seeing
Aerosmith.
Somebody. Yeah.
No, that's Sweet Emotions. My bad.
Yeah, we used to do that, the cover band I was in. We used to harmonize it and everything. I played the bass line. That was fun.
This is an unpopular take, but that was their only good song. Like Aerosmith is like the most overrated band in the history of bands.
That might be true, but Get a Grip in 93 was the stupid album that makes me laugh. Eat the Rich. It's hilarious. It's such a dumb. Come on. Remember those videos with Alicia Silverstone, Liv Tyler? Yeah, man, when I was 13 years old, that was fun. What we got here, Mike? Someone's calling me out?
Rizza Jizza. Govier just salty that Bregman turned down the Tigers offer. Is that true?
I don't give a shit. No, I don't care about that. I don't want him here. I didn't want him here. I think he's a false flag, a false idol. He's not the guy that I'm going to rely on to be a veteran presence as much as we think he is. I don't think he's all that in a bag of chips. I just don't.
Yeah, I think you're going to get respectable power numbers from him in Fenway. Like I said, 25-30 home runs. I was probably a little bit overshooting his batting average there. Maybe 260s, 270, I think, is probably.
No, that's fine. By the way, Dream On is a classic. Dream On's a great song.
I need to back up that statement. Song. Yeah, it's been pointed out. Look, I am happy to admit when I'm wrong, which I admit more often. Yeah, the Run DMC song, Love in an Elevator.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
People are coming after you. Look at the Elvis Angel.
Yeah, I hear it. Come on, bro. Hey, I'm not like trying to shock jock anybody. All I'm saying is,
Well, I always got something that could divert attention like this.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith.
That's true. Yes.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Thanks, Tom.
Castellanos.
I watched the game live, by the way.
Walk this.
Yeah,
way.
I was too. I was too. I remember that because was it the COVID year?
Yeah.
I was just sitting there watching MLB TV all the time. I don't think this Tim. I love you, Tim. Tim's a longtime Palazzo legend around here, but right-handed bats can hit home runs at Comerica Park. So I'm not so sure that would have been the case, but whatever. I'm not going to argue that point all night. So.
Hey, speaking of which, Matt Vierling. This is an injury that obviously matters. Like, he's going to miss the beginning of the season. And wasn't he their starting third baseman for the Tigers?
Yes.
Matt Vierling?
Yeah.
Well, he's out.
Yes. Now it's Jace Young season.
Yeah.
Is he going to make
any interest in Jace Young, guys?
Well, I mean, he's going to play third now, I would assume. If Vierling's not playing third, who else is playing third? I agree.
But I'm just saying, like, is he worth anything worth working, looking at in fantasy? I mean, yeah. I don't have like his
he's stats. Yeah, he's got something to offer. He's still working. He's 24 years old, lefty. Last year he was able to crank 15 dongs among his AAA and Single-A season. He only played 4 games in Single-A, jumped up to AAA for 91 games, hit 14 homers at AAA, 16% walk percentage in 91 games. That's real nice. So Yeah, if he shows that patience in the big leagues, you could be looking at a guy who might be a sleeper, a deep, deep sleeper. Interesting. Left-handed hitter.
Yeah. Who's playing first now for the Tigers?
Colt Keith.
Can Colt Keith play third, and then they bring Torque back and let him play first? Operation bring Torque back.
Hit a dinger.
I know, man. Do you guys know the story? Have you guys looked into why Torque sucks? Do you guys know what it is?
No.
Have you heard?
He's not good at baseball.
The word is, this is like the anomaly. Usually you hear guys can't hit breaking stuff that like breaks them, but apparently he can't hit fastballs. So they throw him breaking stuff. He crushes it, but he can't catch up to major league fastballs. Dive into it. Go check it out. That's the thing. It's bizarre, but this seems to be what is his biggest problem. So if he could just get timing on these meaty fastballs, even if they're 98, 99, 100 miles an hour, maybe he can get back on track. But I don't know, man. Britton, I think the party's over. It might be over here. He might need a new start and a new place because last year was really humbling.
Yeah, it was rough. But he did have one good run where he had a rough start and then hit 27 home runs. Like
that was the second half of 23.
He's young. Like it's too early to give up.
But his contact is so bad throughout all of it. Even when he had that incredible run, his contact still stunk. That's my only concern is I would have been more hopeful. Okay, we saw a little bit more contact even when he was hitting those dongs in 23. But I didn't see that anywhere. That's my concern here is there's no batting average or quality walk rate to support this either.
I hear you, but 27 home runs is 27 home runs. Like, who's the last
target? It was amazing.
Yeah, you know,
it was a hell of a run.
That's what they had. That's what they had him for. I just think it's the number one overall, right? Like 1.1.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's the problem too. I think.
Yeah, it's you gotta keep working on it.
You expect everything from a number one hitting. If you don't run, you should hit for average and hit for power. And I think it's been he maybe should not have been the number one pick. It was 2020 COVID year, whatever. But I'm out. I'm not taking Torque as a flyer. I have to see it to believe it.
Here's the other thing, too. If you're playing first base, you better be hitting the ball out of the ballpark. So that's – and you got to learn how to hit fastballs first and foremost. So
and Colt Keith can do that, both of those things.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Mike, you want to get some player battles?
Yeah, let's do it, buddy. You got any
two little mice there you go. That's what I was looking fell for. In a bucket of cream.
There it is. Our boy Christopher Walken, two little mice. It's time for us to dive in. What do you got for us? I can't wait. I love these. I love these showdowns.
I also am including ADP here. So just to give everybody if you're new to the show, if you give you guys a little bit of a glimpse here, I'm going to give Gove and Britton two different players and also provide their current ADPs and where they're at right now. So basically I'm asking you, and they're same positions. There's one that's not, actually a couple that are not, but in terms of the player that you would rather have at their current ADP. So that's what we're going with here. That's what this whole bit is based on. Okay. So the first one, to open us up, and this is a juicy one here. I already know Govier's answer. But to start things off, who is the number one overall pick? Is it Shohei Ohtani or Bobby Witt Jr.? Britton, I'm going to start with you. And this is just the batter, by the way, not the pitcher. Just the batter.
I'm going Bobby Witt Jr. And obviously, Shohei Ohtani had a world-class season, 50-50. Never happened, probably never will. The thing about Shohei Ohtani, and I'm not saying don't draft Shohei Ohtani, obviously, but I like Bobby Witt because Bobby Witt didn't have shoulder surgery this offseason. And Bobby Witt's not going to worry about pitching. And you know, believe it or not, like pitching is a heavy toll on a body and a shoulder that just had shoulder surgery. Now, if anybody can withstand that, it's Shohei Ohtani. He's a magical beast. He's like at Hogwarts hanging out with the Beastmaster guy before he got killed on the motorcycle. You know, with the unicorn, whatever, the Gryffindor thing. Like, that's Shohei. I know I'm losing. That's Shohei.
Is that big fucker with the hair?
The big fucker. That was the Beastmaster. Yeah.
But look at the sea of red.
If Shohei Ohtani were at Hogwarts, that's who he's hanging out with, the Beastmaster, because Shohei Ohtani's a beast. But all that being said, Bobby Witt, every year he gets better. And you're like, crazy. You can't get better. And he's like, yeah, I can. And every year he gets better. It's amazing. So I would take Bobby Witt because of the no shoulder surgery, no pitching. I don't have to worry about every time Bobby Witt Jr. gets on the mound and, you know, throws a curveball, like, how's your finger? How's your shoulder? So I'm taking Bobby Witt Jr.
Gove, your turn.
Well, I'm taking Ohtani, and last year it was, Tommy John, you know, he's got to recover from that. And then he goes out and does a legendary season that you just don't ever see. So and Britton already said it. He's a god. He's a beast. He's a freak. He is unique. And Bobby Witt, by the way, remember when he was drafted? Yes, he was drafted number 2 overall, I believe. And the worry was his plate discipline and his ability to make contact. And the fact that he's hit 332 has just blown that out of the water. Because I don't think people were expecting his hit tool to be as good as it's been. And it's really good now. So I love it. Bobby Witt, a shortstop, is bonerific. But I'm going Ohtani. And this all gets complicated because there's so many different types of leagues and formats where you have a guy
yes.
who could be a pitcher, could be a hitter. How does he get defined on the format you're playing in? Blah, blah, blah. So I don't give a shit if he's hurt or not. This doesn't matter to me. Ohtani's still hurt. Okay, great. Who cares? He's fine. He can DH and still hit 50 home runs. I truly believe that, and I have to see otherwise. Maybe I'm falling into the trap like last year. Acuña has a legendary season, and everyone wants to run it back, and then it goes to hell. And I think a lot of us are making this connection, like that's going to happen again. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. They're two different players. Acuña is not built like Ohtani at all, for the record. Yeah. They're very different bodies, Mike. Yes. You know bodies. Oh, and there's Ohtani is just... stack. So give me Ohtani. Yeah.
But yeah. It's like, would you rather have an ace high straight or an ace or a king high straight? Like, you're going to win the bet.
Either one. Yeah.
You know, you're still going to win the pot, but, you know.
Yeah. Business saying is Ohtani's making his spring break debut in 20 minutes. Gove, to piggyback off a point you made, Bobby Witt actually went number 4 overall and Ohtani went 12 overall. So the fact that we're talking about these guys as 1 and 2 is pretty crazy. I want to throw this out here. This is why ESPN sucks, in my opinion. NFBC had Witt. NFBC had Bobby Witt at 2, CBS 2, RTS 3, ESPN Bobby Witt's ADP was 12, Yahoo was 1. So
great job.
That says it all. Before we get to the next player battle, I want to run through some of these because the chat's on fire. You guys are killing it tonight. It's like I can't even keep up with all y'all, and you're getting pissed off because we're not jumping in here. EA All Day had this question about his league. So let's go back. Oh, that's about Sandy. Sorry, wrong one. Blah, blah, blah. Here it is. My league is changing to institute a weekly starting pitcher start limit. So 12 to 15 starts per week. Try to make starting pitchers a bit more valuable and combat excessive streaming. How should this change my stats? Anybody strategy. Have a commentary on this?
He said strats. Is that strategy?
Yeah, how like should it change his strat? He's got a SG or a strat, a Telecaster. Which
fender? Strategeries.
Yeah.
Strategic.
This for me, I think boosts probably starting pitching up a little bit. It also depends on what your scoring format is, though, EA All Day. Is it roto? Is it head-to-head cats? Is it points? That would be useful information. But yeah, to your point, it does.
Strategery.
There you go. it does make starting pitching a little bit more valuable. But I'd like the. I think there's a fine balance here, guys. This is a good talking point with the excessive streaming, because I got people in my league that just love to stream. We have weekly limits that you can make. But does that ruin fantasy baseball for the guys who just add drop starting pitchers for those that don't have weekly limits? Or
it does kind of for me. Like that, I love head-to-head cats, head-to-head points. But like in a lot of head-to-head points leagues – you could just drop ad whoever's starting that day. I mean, right. And just constantly stream, and you're going to win in head to head points. You're going to win if you have the most 2 start pitchers.
Yep,
like you're going to win at least obviously the pitching categories.
Week to so, week,
and the focus is on that. Like that's your constant focus. Like the Sunday before the week starts or the Saturday, you're like, okay, who do I have to pick up that's got 2 starts that don't suck? Because it's points, so it doesn't matter. Like, you're not worried about protecting categories. So, yeah, I get where that's coming from. So, I don't mind. I don't mind a limit just to kind of, nerf that issue down a little bit. I think that just means, you're more choosy about who you start, which I think is what
strategy.
They're trying to do.
Yeah, and I'm not going crazy over. I'm still like, even in this, and again, it really depends on what the format is. First off, but in a nutshell, in a vacuum here, which I hate doing, but I'm still not overreaching. Like my draft strategy is not to draft guys like Paul Skeens and Tarek Skubal. Even in this particular rule, I'm still not doing it. So, but it might bump me up in terms of taking guys like Reagans or George Kirby or Logan Gilbert or somebody along those lines. Maybe bump those up a little bit, because again, my strategy in most of my drafts is going to be to take hitter to start. So.
Strategery.
Well, my strategy, I've always been a proponent of have a season total limit. I don't like weekly limits. We have a league, head-to-head cats, 14 teams. 100 moves for the season. 100 moves. So you can go apeshit 1 week if you want to, but you got to be banking. Got to be thinking, okay, we got 22 weeks here. I got 100 moves for the season. How am I going to portion this out? That's right. Where I like to go with. We don't do limits. I've never done limits. I'm not a big fan of limits in a week to week, but for a season, yes. So you plan it out. And that means that if you have a rough patch of injuries and you have to stream more guys in a given week, you do it then. It gives you more flexibility, but you still got to think about the big picture. You can't just go hog wild and be doing whatever the hell you want all the time.
Strategery.
Jimmy totally reminded me. I forgot we're supposed to insert our commercial break. Give me a quick moment here for our commercial break. We'll be right back to wrap up this topic.
What in the absolute hell?
Do you ever seen that, Mike?
No.
Oh, Britton, you've seen that.
I'm sure I've seen it. I don't remember it like instantly like I did the Nestle's commercial.
Okay. All right. It's a deeper cut.
You remember that TV show with him and him and Balky? No. I'm sorry. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Him and Jamie Lee Curtis. I do remember that show.
Yeah. He had a television
Richard Lewis show. Died last year, by the way. So long, buddy.
R.I.P.
An adult juice box is such a stupid idea.
That hair is over.
Yeah. Oh, that's 1991, baby. All right. Yeah. So back to our regularly scheduled programming. Thank you very much, Jimmy, for the reminder.
Yeah. So he says here, Mike, the reason we're doing this is because people would punt saves and just get 18 starts a week through streaming. They want all the counting stats. It's a head-to-head cast league, so we want to reduce that. Yeah, I don't mind that EA all day. I actually kind of like that to a certain extent because folks in my league do this all the time, especially as we get closer and closer to the playoffs or in the playoffs. So, does that change your strategy at all in terms of how you're drafting? Like in this league particularly, are you going to be now bumping up, maybe starting pitching a little bit more with that?
A little bit more. If it's head-to-head cats, I'm still not as motivated.
Yeah.
But with the limitations, that's a new game. So it really probably might do that to me. And by the way, I don't think it's fair to lump Skubal and Skeens in the same category. Skubal's going to be a badass this year. He's in the prime of his career with the legend Chris Fetter. Skeens is an elite freak who did his rookie year thing. He might struggle in year two. I just think there's a difference between the two. I'm just throwing that out there. Skubal, I think, is a safe play.
See, I think it's really the opposite. Like, Skubal's had Tommy John and multiple injuries. Like, Skeens hasn't. So, Skeens is younger. Like, Skubal is way more of an injury concern than Skeens is.
Mice fell in a bucket of cream.
Who are you taking first off the board then, Britton, for SP? Is it Skeens?
It's Hunter Green.
Jesus.
There it is.
Round 10.
I know
he got blown
Green,
up.
Sandy Alcantara.
I know he got blown up later. I don't care. No, if I was dead set on picking a pitcher early, I'm not this year. This isn't the year to do it, I don't think. It would be Garrett Crochet. And then, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow.
It would be Skeens for me because.
Wow, dude.
Skubal had a great season. He looked great, but you can't ignore his injury history. Like Tarek Skubal for the Tigers has had a very, very not troubled, but he's had significant injuries. Like Skeens hasn't.
Yeah, but he's going to. It's going to happen, right? Aren't we all waiting for it to happen? I mean, outside of.
Right, but this year, I'm talking about this year, I think you're fine with Skeens. So if we're talking. You know, this year I think Skeens is
wait a minute. So is the paranoia the fact that Scooble threw 192 innings and he never done that before? Is that part of the concern?
Well, his injury history is my main concern. But
mixing that in with that, the fact right. that, yeah. okay, oh, he yeah, cracked all, 192 last year, so now it's like, with his injury history, we don't know if he...
No, there, look, again, this is like, do it, what, you know, ace high straight, king high straight. Like, I want them both. They're both great. But if we're just trying to, you know, pick nits, then the Scooble's injury history is way more concerning than
Skeen. Also, all we're saying is it's just the injuries, though, for the record.
Correct.
Everything he does is incredible.
Otherwise. Absolutely. Okay. He's awesome. And his name's Tariq.
That's
terrific.
Terrific, Scooble. Right. Wait, I know I got to get a couple more of these in, Mike. I'm so sorry. Anthony wanted to say Jesus Made or Zahir Hope. I know who Jesus Made is. He is a real player in the Brewer system. So I'm just going to say him because I don't know the other guy. Anybody?
Hope is one of the Dodgers prospects. Oh. He's only 20, though. But I don't think you're going to see him this year. But he's like one of the fastest rising prospects in prospect land. Zahir Hope for the Dodgers. Oh. Okay. Yeah, he looks like a wand. You know, I hate to put this on him, but I'm going to do it. He looks like a Juan Soto type. He's like meteoric rise. I don't think he'll be up this year. It'll be next year, especially how loaded the Dodgers are. But yeah, Zahir Hope is fast moving up the ranks for prospects.
There you go. I'm just going with Jesus Made because it's a sweet name. Chad here, our old pal. There he is. First Fantasy Six Pack Chad now. I never expected to be here, but I suddenly am in love with Ivan Herrera. Me too. I'm joining you. Sarah Sanchez turned me on to him a while ago, and I've fallen in love ever since.
Sarah Sanchez did?
Yeah.
A Cardinal? A Cubs fan? That's not funny. Name Contreras?
Ask her. It's funny. I know. Right?
I believe you.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, she did have two drinks that night. We were in real life together, so who knows? Typical Americans going against an Asian typical. Ohtani is the greatest MLB player he's ever seen. He's currently at his peak. Don't be those guys. Love Sync 31. Oh, thanks. That's from Robbie Our being Sync 31. It was one of a troll who came and went so quickly. I don't know what happened to him, but we miss you, Sync 31. We'd love to hear it from you. Anthony says the hard hitting question is Mike VA fading Judge again.
I did do that. For those of you guys who are new to the show or maybe checking us out for the first time, I did like the first six rounds of guys I'm fading in each round, and I faded the number one guy I was fading the first was Judge because the toe thing, and they always said it was going to be part of his career for the rest of his life, blah blah blah. So it was a mistake. Obviously, Judge was.
I was right there with you too. Phenomenal. Mike wasn't alone. I supported you. I thought I didn't want him at all.
Yeah, but am I in on him this year? Like, that's actually a good question because my first two guys are going to be Witt and Ohtani off the board. But at three, it probably could be Judge. But I love me some Ellie now and some J Ram that I might be looking to put up in front of him. So, but I probably won't get too cute again with that. I'd probably take Judge.
Okay. Judge, man, that's just a mystery to me. I'm going to have to think about that real hard this year.
He was drafted second in our listener league. It went Ohtani, Judge, then Bobby Witt.
Ooh.
Yeah, Judge's toe was a problem. Everyone knows that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Recovery time, 6 to 9 months for who? I don't even know who you're talking about. Oh, torn labrum?
Yeah. Oh, he's talking about Ohtani.
Oh, who cares about that? I don't care about that. I just don't care. I'm crazy.
Who's Yoj?
Oh, Yoj?
That's you. He just instead of the U, he put the J.
He's saying, got it.
He's saying you as in the royal you.
To answer that question on Sunday, pick a guy who's starting this Tuesday, Wednesday, has a real good looking next week. Yeah, Robbie knows a lot about playing week to week, head to head stuff. So
some
you
people
can ask
like
Robbie
that strategy. You know, some people like doing that, and that's totally cool. You know, play however you want to play.
Yeah, you just take a shot.
Little plug here too. You know where else we talk about two start pitcher streams is on the Sunday show. That's going to be
right
during the season. Myself and Britton and Gove, obviously, and anybody on the Palazzo family, more than welcome to join.
Are you speaking of the Fabulous show?
Oh yeah,
Fabulous waiver wire show.
Fabulous Dicks and Donuts.
Dicks and Donuts.
Extravaganza.
Right. Yep. And Charles Dickens is in part of that mix now, too.
Tale of two titties.
That's right.
God, I remember Govia loved me. I still love you, Anthony. Come on. We're trying to catch up here. I'm speed rounding all these league chats. in these live chats for you because we love you so much. Evil Zilla says, Paul, the pick, Scuba Moore injury risk. So he seems to agree with what you guys are saying there. I guess maybe I'm in the minority on this one. The more I keep talking about it.
I don't also, feel strongly either way about it.
Hey, your love of Scuba is well earned. I mean, you know,
it's been a long haul. There's like a right.
Yeah, you have to love Scuba more than Skeens. Skeens plays
Profishow, you like this, Britton? Profishow says, Jesus made, looks like a young Cheerio. Well, bye!
A lot of buzz on Jesus, too, but...
I'm going to keep calling him Jesus. I know his name's Jesus, but I'm just going to keep saying Jesus because that's what I do. All right, Mike, back to you, buddy, here on the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's to
Utah. Give me two.
Next player battle here. You guys ready for this one? I'm going to give you guys, since we talked about him earlier in the show, Josh Naylor, who's going at pick number 72. Or do you wait a little bit longer and go for a guy like Vinny Pasquantino at pick 109. Now, real quick to unpack, probably going to get a little bit more power with Naylor. You're probably going to get a little more of the plate discipline and average from a guy like Vinny Pasquantino, but still has some pop here. Who are you going with, Britton? I'll start with you. You going Josh Naylor at pick 72, or are you waiting and take Vinny P?
I think Naylor is way overrated. No, I do like drafting him because then I can do my all-time favorite draft joke, which is obviously – Naylor, I barely know her. That's my favorite draft joke. Anyway,
my favorite draft joke as well.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, look, Naylor was awesome at Cleveland, hitting bombs. But he just doesn't look good, man. He like swings out of his helmet like that. You can see that guy having a terrible year and not think twice about it. Yeah, give me Vinny P all day.
Go for it. Didn't he stab somebody?
I don't know.
Like, Josh Naylor? No, Tommy Pham got stabbed. I don't know.
No, he got punched.
Which makes sense. Yeah.
Josh Naylor went crazy one night in the dugout after he hit a home run and like screamed like a psycho. That was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, he took his helmet off and then headbutted somebody with the helmet. I don't know. Yeah. Josh makes bad decisions, but he's cool. But yeah, I'll take the upside on Vinny P. And Josh has got his Cleveland hat on there.
He does. It says he's a Diamondback, but they're not updated over their pitcher list. You'll get to it, guys. 5'11", 250 pounds, and he's a Canadian from Mississauga, which is just right up the way here from where I'm at in Windsor. It's like an hour, well, 2 hours, 2.5 hours probably. Josh Naylor did all this. Look at your screen on our YouTube if you're watching live or in replay. If you're in replay, comment. Leave a comment. We'll respond. 31 dongs. And a 243 average looks bogus, but he was struggling through injuries and he was playing through a lot of it and still was able to do this. I think that's important. I think people need to be aware of that. And he's a guy who makes contact. He doesn't strike out a lot. He's a sub 20% strikeout guy. And I love Vinny P, Mike. So you really put me here in a tough spot because I'm a big fan of Vinny and I was big on him breaking out last year. It didn't quite happen. It was a solid year, right? But if you're forcing me to choose Too Little Mice style, then I'm going to have to select
Too Little Mice,
Josh,
fell in a bucket of cream.
Is the mouse of my choice.
Or you skip both those and get Mike Talia later.
There it is.
That's 20 hits.
That's the second Mike Talia reference on the show. More
home runs and steal double-digit bases, which neither one of those guys are going to do.
So. I'm locking you in.
Here we go. Josh Naylor once stabbed a teammate, so there's that.
Oh, so you got that right, Britton. Good job. Nice work.
Great job. I know all my stabbings. I know all the stabbing guys.
My brother got stabbed once, for real. He came out of a bar. And he got stabbed like this long. It was crazy. He was just walking around shit-faced, blacked out.
I got stabbed. Did I tell you about the time I got stabbed? In the heart.
Oh.
My first girlfriend.
Well, I've been there. I've been there, buddy. That's right. Oof.
So
sounds like a Johnny Cash song.
Right. I'm big on Vinny P. I like him in OBP formats. And again, it really depends on what your league is and what your build is already looking like. So like if you need power, I would probably go Josh Naylor. But if you're a guy that wants to have a little bit more stability in terms of the OBP and the average, I think you take a guy like Vinny P and wait 30 plus picks later. So I don't think you can go wrong. Pete in the fourth or fifth round where I go in big. Year incoming.
Pete Alonso.
Oh, I love Pete Alonso. I think we all do. I think we talked about him a couple shows ago. I love Pete. And if you're getting him in the fourth or fifth round, he's another guy that can drop 40-50. But you can get the light version and get Josh Naylor multiple rounds later. So
I pissed Robbie off. Yeah, the Canadian checks in. I'm a pretend Canadian. He's a true Canadian. Mississauga. No W pronounced. Put some respect on that disgusting city. Thank you, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie, I've been watching a new show from Canada. Well, not a new show, relatively new, called Shorzy. It's the funniest show I've ever seen in my life. No hyperbole
check it out.
There.
Trailer Park
it's
Boys
in
is
Canada.
Good.
It's called Shorzy. It's on Hulu. It's hilarious. Way to go, Canada.
All right, here's a fun one. All right, this is the starting pitcher one. Okay. My boy, Grayson Rodriguez at pick 108. Or do you wait and take a guy like Jared Jones, who had a phenomenal season last year, at pick 143? Gove, I will start
Jared Jones' sinker. Talk about the sinker this spring with Jared Jones. Well, Grayson Rodriguez, boy, I mean, what even happened? Because I didn't really have any shares last year, so if he grew a lot, I'm kind of wasn't paying attention because I didn't have any participation trophies. He's a guy who had kind of a disappointing first call-up, and he had some injuries, and last year, here it is, 3.86 ERA, 1.24 whip, 316 innings, Grayson, good job. He should be having a career year this year, the best year of his career, 25 years old. And when I think about Jared Jones and what he did versus Grayson Rodriguez, I kind of like Jared Jones a little bit more because I wonder by the end of the season how different their stats will be. So it depends on my build. It depends on what my draft is like. How am I approaching my roster construction? But if you're making me choose between these two, Jared Jones and Grayson Rodriguez, I shall select Jared Jones. Ooh.
Britton, over to you. Grayson Rodriguez or Jared Jones?
Both super talented players, and I would say both had disappointing seasons. Jared Jones started out hot, had a terrible second half.
He did.
Terrible. That's why his ERA ended up over 4.
But his whip still stayed under 1.2, just for the record. That's pretty interesting, I do think, over 121 innings.
Yeah, Jared Jones throws hard and looks good. But, he's young, just like Grayson Rodriguez. They're both young, both talented. But give me the guy in Baltimore with the higher prospect. Well, not that Jared Jones wasn't the high prospect, but I'll take Grayson Rodriguez, five-pitch mix on the Orioles. He'll get more wins. Yep.
You guys know who I'm going with. So next one here, and I brought this up on my Twitter page. Outfielder.
Two little mice.
Because their stats, guys, are very, very, very similar, okay? And I'm happy to bring it up if you guys need it. But Lawrence Butler, pick 85.
Oh, Larry.
Or do we go Michael Harris at pick 50? So you can get Lawrence Butler 35 picks later for virtually the same production last year. I know that Michael Harris was a little bit injured, but Lawrence Butler only played in like 15 more games. Their stats were very similar, and as well as the under the hood metrics, there were some things that Butler excelled at more than Harris and vice versa. But Britton, I'm going to start with you. Harris at pick 50 or Butler at pick 85?
It's Butler by a long shot, as we say down south, by a country mile. He's going to be batting at the top of the order in a AAA park. I love Lawrence Butler. There's not all that foul territory. Michael Harris has got great, like, hard hit metrics, and he's kind of hovered around 2020, but he's never kind of like put it together. And I like him hitting at the Cubs, but I don't know. I like Lawrence Butler's upside a lot better. I like the A's. I think they're going to be really good. You know, Mike V and I, and you too, Gavier, I mean, we've talked about extensively our feelings about hitting in West Sacramento, California for the A's. I love
West Philadelphia?
I just don't want born and raised in the play. Anyway, sorry.
There it is. I got it.
I was just trying to get
your brain.
Yeah, I'm like a fish, and you just put that little hook on the, and I was like, I love it. Reel me in, baby. Boys to men, shout out.
ABC BBD.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the A's anymore.
But
Michael Talia. Talk about.
So that means we're not going to take this question from Robbie. Then we're going to skip this one because it's about the A's.
I don't want any more talk about the A's, Mike. We've done our due diligence. Let's just leave that alone. What do y'all say? Right. No, we can't do that.
Yeah, go.
We're an open.
Who book. You going? Who are you going with? You going Butler or you picking Michael Harris?
So. Larry Butler's been leading off in spring training. I don't know if that's his home base for sure, but if that is the case, boy, that is just hard to miss. It's hard to not want to be a part of that. Volume play, Larry Butler. Chris, is Michael Harris. He's a guy that I really loved last year, but he got hurt again. I'm going to go Michael Harris, man. I just know that this guy, his rookie year was so good, and he just had some bad breaks. I have to expect he's got to be able to put this thing back together in 2025. Joe says Butler's going to be a top five pick next year. Okay. I think Michael Harris might be a first-round pick next year. I really do. I love Michael Harris, and I'm going back to the well with Michael Harris, a guy who can give you 25 homers, steal 40 bases. I really see this as a guy, if he can pick up the average, he's not going to have a great OBP, Michael Harris, so we need to see improvement from the batting average. And if we get that, then it's party time. So I'm going Michael Harris, and I'm going to live or die with him over Lawrence Butler.
As Britton likes to allude as well, when you're batting leadoff for any major league team,
they both bat leadoff.
Is Michael Harris going to be batting leadoff? I've seen spots where I don't know.
He might. Yeah.
Without Acuna, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I was forgetting that Acuna wasn't going to be ready until.
I mean, it could be Profar. It could be Harris. It's not going to be Albies. So yeah, I don't know. It could happen for the time being.
Yeah. It very well could be. I will take Butler here just simply because of the fact of I can get him 30 similar player 30 picks later. So that's the only reason why I love a good discount, guys.
Hey, ancillary to this question real quick. If Michael Harris is second for the Atlanta Braves, he bat leadoff for a lot of games last year, but they signed Profar, Jerkson Profar. If Profar bats leadoff, then
he might.
Forget the Larry Butler conversation. I want Profar more than Harris.
I'm so glad
on his own team that you can get way past double digits.
It's maddening to me. I brought this up, and if you guys haven't checked this out, make sure you guys go over to my Twitter page. I do a must-haves for all positions. Starting pitcher and relief pitcher will be sometime this weekend. But I talk about Yerkes and Profar. This guy's going pick 180, 160 something. I can't remember what it was, but I was shocked by that. Am I missing something with Yerkes and Profar?
I put it in a video this week, Mike. I did two videos. One was biggest risers in hard hit rate and biggest fallers from 23 to 24.
Yeah.
Yerkeson was one of the biggest jumps. He went from a 31% hard hit rate to a 44. Now, that's a huge jump.
That's crazy.
But that's not consistent for him. So that's interesting. Right. What's that Atlanta change? Did he wake up? Did he go to a drive line? Or I don't know. Did he go Popeye and get a bunch of spinach? I don't know what the hell it is, but I want to know, is that what we could expect in 2025?
I bet you can, because you know the Atlanta Braves have about 19 people that graduated from MIT in their corporate office there that figured all that out and said, yeah, this is legit. Let's go sign him to a guaranteed 3-year contract.
Next one here for you guys. And just for the record, did I get to everybody on that?
I'm Profar?
You went Harris. Gove went Butler, right?
Yep. I went Harris. He went Butler.
Yeah, give me Butler. Yeah.
And everybody in the chat, by the way, told me I'm an idiot. So they're all going Butler, it seems.
Well, you're not an idiot, but.
That's fine.
Next one here, another starting pitcher. I want to get at least two more in here. Aaron Nola at pick 70. Or do we take Spencer Schwellenbach at pick 95, who's rapidly rising up draft boards?
Oh, that's a toughie.
Great one.
Michael, go. Yeah, you go first. I got to think about this one.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. You beat me to the punch. Nola's a guy I don't draft. I've always had he's like Nolan Arenado to me. It's a guy I just never drafted. Even if he was productive and useful, I just avoided him because I felt like I could never get the ratios from Nola that I wanted from a guy when he was a hot prospect. God, 2016, Nola, so much hype. I remember being in my dynasty leagues and my keeper leagues. Aaron Nola, we got to get Aaron Nola. But it just never seemed to get there for me.
Ansel's so hot right now.
That's right. Ansel's so hot right now. But then there's the Schwellenbach who comes up and does what he did last year. I remember I dropped him in one league last year because Schwellenbach didn't do what he did until after a couple starts. Remember, he kind of got going and really picked it up in the 2024 for Schwellenbach. But he is a guy I've had in Dynasty. I have a couple shares of Schwellenbach, so I liked him. He was a two-way guy coming up, by the way. He wanted to be an Ohtani guy. Yep. Clearly pitching is Schwellenbach's bread and butter. So you're asking me, I'm telling you, I don't know. I guess I'm suspect that Schwellenbach's going to kick it up a notch again in 2025, so I'm going to go with Nola. And I don't even know if I love it, but I'm going Nola.
Mr. Britton Allen.
That's tough. Everybody loves Schwelly. Everybody loves Schwelly. But I'm going to stick with the tried and true workhorse of the Philadelphia Phillies. Does it year after year. Not fancy. Not going to blow your socks off. So, you know, it's one of those situations like he's just steady. You're going to get K's. You're going to get some wins. You know, hopefully
Whip will be a little higher than you.
Yeah, I get that. But if you're just if you're looking at your team build and, you know, you're just going, I'm just doing steady Eddie guys. Nola's your guy. If you want some upside, then Schwellenbach. Like if you get, you know, Skubler or Skeens, then yeah, you know, go Schwelly. You know, but I wouldn't make Schwellenbach my first or second ace. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's just no kind of how your team no. works out. So
not this year, not this year. I love him as a career, but not this year.
Yeah. There's a lot of helium on Spencer Schwellenbach, which is fine. But, you know, when it comes to pitching, I think you want the steady guy. But yeah. look at all that red though. It's so tempting just to say whatever. I'm taking Schwellenbach. Or what you do is you take Nola and then you take Grant Holmes 20 rounds later because there I hate is. To tell you guys, Grant Holmes today 3 innings pitched, flashed his 5 pitch mix: fastball, curveball, cutter, slider, changeup today. Looking good. Maybe he's this year's Schwellenbach that you can get much later. So get Nola and then get Grant Holmes Schwellenbach version 3.0. No, 2025. That's how you do it.
I'm like Govier. I have never been an Aaron Nola guy, even though he's steady Eddie, man. He's almost a lock for 200 strikeouts. That's what you're getting. You're getting innings from him. It's worth noting too, and I'm going to bring this up to you guys. Hit the opponent batting average has risen now for the third straight year in a row, and a sizable jump even from 2022 where he had a 219 opponent batting average. That jumped to 247 last year. So ERA came down a little bit from 2023 to 2024, went from 4.46 to 3.57, which is great. You're going to get the K's there. For me, I like taking the upside there. I'll take Spencer Schwellenbach again from the discount aspect. I love what he did. I do agree with Govier though on this Schwellenbach. I just don't know if we're going to see this helium rise that he's going to outproduce his ADP. I think he's inside the top 100 now. I think that's a little high for me.
It's crazy with the K. I love upside too, but all offseason, like nobody knew who Schwellenbach was last year, but now all the teams in that division have their scouts watching every pitch. And before the game, they're going to show the batter before Schwellenbach and say, this is where he pitches on 3-2 counts. This is what he did. They didn't have that before, but they're going to have it all now. So He's going to regress, you know.
It was a tough one. I liked putting that in there, and I agree with Droopy Dog here. This is why I don't own Nola, because he's frustrating as hell to own. Is he could have like 10 strikeouts but give up like 6 earned runs? It's maddening for me. But if you don't play in an ERA league, or if you play in like quality starts instead of wins, like maybe Nola points. Probably bumps up points. Yeah. That might bump up a little bit. But my next one here to you guys. Is a little bit of a prospect one, right? So we talked about these guys a lot last year. And again, they don't play the same position, but are you taking Junior Caminero at pick 99 or James Wood at pick 67? Who do you like better in terms of just the prospect pedigree status?
I'm sorry, I got sidelined there. Looks like Otani just went Oppo Nuke. Of course, I took I argued against Otani, and he's going to make me look like a fool, you know. Like last year when I was thinking about that gambling stuff that his assistant did or whatever,
yeah,
I was like, oh, you know,
his assistant,
you know, that's always like, you know, four people in a car get pulled over, and there's one bag of Coke, and everybody's like, whose is it? Like, I don't know this guy, I don't know, you know. But
Caminero or James Wood? All right, James Wood goes at pick 67. Caminero goes at pick 99.
So Wood obviously came up and played in the majors longer than Caminero did. Caminero literally had like the cup of coffee situation, and he looked pretty good, you know, like, you know, what, 60 at bats or something like that. Mm-hmm. James Wood played for a while, didn't hit it off great. He was fine, but didn't hit it off great. It didn't hit it off anywhere near, you know, the hype or anything like that. But I like them both. But if I had to pick one, I'd pick Junior Caminero because he plays for the Rays. He's going to play third base, and he's going to smack bombs in that Triple-A ballpark. When I'm cruising down Narrative Street, balls are going to be peppering me from that ballpark being hit out at the 316 porch or whatever it is. And in all seriousness, the Washington Nationals have a hitter-friendly park too, but I think Junior Caminero's power is way legit. So I think I'll take Junior Caminero as far as, you know, take if I want to take a swing with one of them, pun intended, get it? They're hitter. Anyway, so okay. Yeah, I'll take take Caminero.
Govier.
Well, you put us to the test, Mike. These are really good. You did a great job. Great job.
Great job.
Really great job on short notice, I would even argue. Well done. I'm going to give myself over to James Wood. I'm just going strictly on prospect expectation of the talent that he has. Because Caminero at third base is nice, and Wood's an outfielder. So if that matters to you on your positional setup of your roster construction, then I get it. I'm going Wood all day here. Wood, it was like the prospect of prospects. Sometimes we start to forget this stuff after they debut and they're decent or good. And he was solid, and he showed a double-digit walk rate in his rookie year last year. Look at that, almost 12% walk rate. That's outstanding. That's something to build off of. He shows more patience. He cranks more dongs, and I love that Nats lineup more than ever this season. I'm going James Wood, and I'm not even sweating it. Lock me in.
Well, you guys know how I feel about Junior Caminero, but I also do love me some James Wood. So there's a lot of people in town because I live in the DC, DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia area, and a lot of people who are pissed about the Juan Soto deal and didn't know a lot of the guys that they acquired for him. I was a big fan of James Wood. I still am. And this one was really tough for me, and I still probably don't have a good answer for everybody in terms of me splitting this. But if I had to pick gun to my head, I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to go Junior Caminero because I loved him so much last year. So I agree with Britton, the power's for real, but I'd love me some James Wood too. Love me some James Wood.
Oh, they're both great. Yeah. I don't want anyone to think that I'm not liking James Wood.
No.
Peppered balls, baby. That's what Brian K. Rodgman says. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, can we talk about the Nationals for a minute? I love this team. CJ Abrams leading off, Dylan Cruz, James Wood hitting third. Nate Lowe, James Bell, Josh Bell, whatever. I wish Luis Garcia Jr. would hit higher up in the order. But they also have Kyber Ruiz, who they got in a trade, too. I love those young hitters. I love their ballpark. Their pitching, obviously, is suspect. When, you know, Mike Soroka, you know, God bless you, man. I mean, he was a huge Braves prospect, and then he had tore his Achilles and, you know, did that. I mean, just terrible luck. And he's only 27. So I hope he bounces.
This was from earlier in the show. EL Day was talking about, as a Nats fan, Robert Haslow III has looked great, but he's probably up in September. But he loves Jacob Young in center field, who was a guy last year that we don't talk about at all. He stole 30-plus bases last year, but it was a lot of empty stats otherwise. So I wonder how he fits in, since you're bringing up the Nats too, Britton, because Young is one of those classic examples of a guy, oh, he can give me a lot of steals, but then everything else just kind of sits there and you're like, eh.
I know a little bit about Robert Haslow III. He's from a town not far from Nashville, west of Nashville.
Oh!
Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on him. He was a first-round draft pick. He didn't really light it up in the minors at all, ever, really. He's kind of been a disappointment. People were out on him, but he had a great Arizona Fall League this year. He looked like Tristan McKenzie, except a hitter. And that's not ideal under any situation. But he's kind of filled out a little bit. He's having a great spring. He's not going to make the big league club coming out of opening day. But, you know, he does have that prospect pedigree. And, you know, he looks like he's, you know, doing better. So I wish Robert Haslow III all the luck in the world. Like, I want him to be successful. So, yeah, keep your eye on him.
Yeah, I like the Nats a lot too. And they got a haul looking back because Robert Hassel came from the Juan Soto deal too, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
They got Abrams, yep, they got Wood, and they got Hassel. They got a haul for them. So not to mention you add in Dylan Cruz, and I know you guys like CJ Abrams this year, but for real life perspective, you know, Abrams is another young guy still coming into his own. My question with the Nats is going to be starting pitching, obviously, and where they make up from that.
Terrible.
I think the hitting's for real. They signed Kyle Finnegan back, who looks like he's going to be their closer coming up. So if those guys haven't drafted, 1 year deal. Finnegan's looks like he's going to be the guy there in Washington. So, if they can figure out some starting pitching, and Cade Cavalli, you know, who's a guy that a lot of people were high on 2 years ago, but didn't have a great year last year.
Injury problems.
Yeah. Because I think he was, everyone was expecting him to be the next guy, the heir to the throne there, if you will. Josiah Gray, like these guys just haven't come around yet. So,
hey, and the best pick, now, those are all great trades. And we forget Josiah Gray came over in one of the Dodgers trades with Kyber Ruiz. Sure.
And
let's also, they let Anthony Rendon go. That's the best move you ever could have made in the history of your. And that's tough too, because we don't want to forget Anthony Rendon was the hero of their World Series run. Hero. He was the best player of that World Series run with Strasburg and
Adam Eaton.
Adam Eaton. Oh, I forgot about Adam Eaton.
Yeah.
Hilarious. No, that was the year after Harper left, and then they won it. You know,
then they won it.
And they won
it. I was waiting for you guys to talk about the guy that we should all be talking about on the Nats, and that's Mackenzie Gore. You know, this is a key to their team. He should be their ace this year.
Loves him too.
I'm dying for him to have this be his year, Mike. This is It's time for Mackenzie Gore. He's had a lot of reps in MLB. He's still only 25. We've been hearing about Mackenzie Gore for years. Still only 25. And he keeps reducing his walks a little bit every year. Sometimes it's not as big as you want it to be, but it is getting lower and lower season by season. And I'm hoping he puts it all together this year and has a career year. So I love Mackenzie Gore this season. I think I'm going all in on Mackenzie Gore and banking on him finally putting it together in 2025.
I love that call. And I remember last year Mackenzie Gore was pitching and Scott Kingery was playing third, and he kind of lollygagged on a play, and you know the runner beat it out at first. Mackenzie Gore and Scott Kingery got into a fight in the dugout.
Yeah.
And of course the cameras caught it. And you don't see that very often, but I was like, wow, Mackenzie Gore, go get it.
Is Scott Kingery on the Nets?
I believe so. Maybe it wasn't Kingery. Maybe it was Senzel. Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe it was. Yeah, I'm sorry. I get those two mixed up.
When did Jonathan Papelbon get in that fight?
But since we're talking about the Nats, real quick, DJ Hurs. He's not going to make the starting five. He will make starts for the Nats. He'll be the first one called up when any of the pitchers get hurt. But remember, DJ Hurs, who looks exactly like in Breaking Bad. The guy that did the pest control stuff. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, that bald guy.
The young guy.
Plemons? Oh, Aaron Paul. Yeah.
No,
Jesse
Plemons. Yeah.
Jesse Plemons was in Breaking Bad? Wow, I didn't even know that.
Jesse Plemons, or DJ Hurst, looks exactly like Jesse Plemons from
Breaking Bad. But DJ Khaled. Do you look like DJ Khaled at all?
Anyway, so DJ Hurst had double-digit strikeouts, which he's the only rookie pitcher that did that last year. And two back-to-back starts, double-digit strikeouts. Love you, DJ Hurs.
I love you,
DJ Hurs as well. Anybody, but going back to Gore, though, Gove, I'm with you, dude, 100%. Anybody in my home league will tell you, I've been talking about Mackenzie Gore for years, even when he's with the Padres, and it seems like the Padres just absolutely hated him. Be like, oh, there's a spot in the rotation. Not you, the guy in the stands in the fifth row. He can pitch.
Well, they finally gave him that shot in 23, I think, before they traded him, remember? And he actually had a stretch where, okay, here it is. And he was good, but he tailed off in like his last four or five starts that year, and then they dealt him. I traded for him in my home league last year, Mike. I dealt Garrett Cole away, and I got Yamamoto and Gore back. Ooh, and everyone thought it was all about Yamamoto, but I was just as interested in Gore. So they're also the same age. Weird.
For everybody watching on us on the live stream, Mackenzie Gore is going at pick 214 right now, going ahead of guys like Brandon Woodruff, Spencer Arrighetti, Clark Schmidt, Yu Darvish, Walker Buehler, Nick Lodolo.
Love that. That's a great spot. That's the kind of pitching I'm looking at, man. Mackenzie Gore is not too big of a risk. I can get some other guys to set up first. He could be my fourth starter, depending on the league.
He made 32 starts last season. I didn't realize that.
He played. He's been pitching a lot. Like, he's gotten the reps.
He had a 3.9 ERA. That's not terrible.
That's down.
It's just about those walks, man.
That's down from 4.5 in the previous two seasons, too, Britton.
He misses bats. It's all about the command. That's all it's about now. We just have to see him master command. And if he can't do that, then I've been chasing, along with you, Mikey, I've been chasing the dragon here, wasting my time.
I think y'all convinced me. I'm going to look into this here.
Look at that. We got a convert.
I want to share my screen here with Mackenzie Gore. I want to call y'all's attention to this.
Nice job, Mike. Look, he's a pro. So good at this now.
Usage 55% on his four seam and his curve. And look at his other pitches. I mean, his curve is obviously his second, but his slider has changed in his sweeper. It looks like he has to develop a lot more of this yellow, green, and I guess gold.
He should throw more of that curve.
Yeah.
Go Charlie Morton style, you know? Charlie Morton became who he was because of the curve and started using it way more.
Yep. Absolutely. And like I said, I think that's been the knock on Gore is his pitch mix. I think Ben talked about it too with Gore. Ben, if you're watching, correct me if I'm wrong. I certainly don't want to speak for you. And if I'm speaking out of turn, let me know. But the big thing with Gore is his pitch mix. And I think if he can develop and really get a kind of like what you were just talking about, Gove, if he can maybe get that third pitch or even just develop that curve a little bit more, we could be looking at a breakout year for Mackenzie Gore. So
He's got to work on the righties. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but look at this fastball velo. I mean, the barrel percentage, the whiff percentage, K percentage. Those are all nice things. So,
yes, sir.
I think with signing Finnegan, that's a good thing for him too. I know people kind of dog on Finnegan, but he had a lot of saves last year. Man, he was like what, top five in saves, or top top six or seven.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's better than relying on Jorge Lopez.
Yeah, right. No shit. Yeah. Was there anything else you want to hit real quick, Mike? I got to go here soon. I apologize.
Nope. I'm with you. I got to get going here myself. But it has been fun talking baseball with you gentlemen again on this Friday. Real quick.
Love it.
If you guys are still watching, we have 250 people watching us across all of our platforms. Please do me a favor or us a favor and go to our YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button if you would. And if you have time, let's be honest, you're not doing shit on this Friday anyways. Go
yes,
to
they
Apple.
Are.
Go
to they Apple. 100%. We're not doing it. Right. That doesn't apply to our viewers.
Go to Apple Podcasts.
We're part of the same hypocrisy, Mike. That doesn't apply to our viewers.
Great job.
Go to Apple Podcasts. Go to Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review. And if you wouldn't mind also leaving us just a little quick little tidbit, a sentence or two, a little rating there. Make us feel good about ourselves, right? Or shit. Give us 5 stars and talk bad about us. I don't care.
No. What is happening right now? Do I need to close this out? don't encourage people. Don't tell people they don't have anything to do and to give us a bad review. What's happening?
No, give us 5 stars, though. He said five stars. He's trying to play mind games. I like it, Mike. Hey, whatever it takes. I don't care. Like you said last week, Britton, whatever it takes. You got to go down and serve cupcakes and take everybody's phone and subscribe.
Oh, update on that, gentlemen. So I floated that past my wife and my kids. They were adamantly opposed and said, Daddy, please don't say that to my friends coming over. And I said, I respect that. What about their moms? Equal opposition. So I apologize, gentlemen, but I did float that idea in my kitchen, in my house.
All you can do is try, my man.
That's right.
With your shirt off?
I leave my shirt on in the shower, Mike. Like that. Like
he's a never nude. He's like David Cross in Arrested Development.
Just in case anyone opens that shower, I don't. That ain't happening.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Donut and Miller Lite bod ain't being unleashed.
Love it. I love it so much.
Until I get my OnlyFans page, which I'm working on.
Go to Britton's OnlyFans for his Miller Lite bod. Follow him on Twitter, Mike VA, MJ Govey, everybody, the Palazzo Palace, Galaxy of Stars. Thanks so much, everybody. It's been a pleasure. We are out of here. Time to turn it over to who, Britton?
Lucky Jack Aubrey.
Peace.
All right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack, More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun, quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.